scriptures in order. But anyhow, I did. Oh, I know what it was. It was Mike Furey's revival. 55 preachers go down there, right, and sit, and you got to have something ready to say, so you're thinking about something. And so I went down every night I could. I was there Thursday, and God gave me a word. And the service went on, and I didn't get to release the word from my soul. Friday I went back and still didn't get to release the word. And then it was burning me up all day Saturday. So I had like 4 or 5 days to think about that word. And I just wrote it all out at that time. And that's when all this started. And I did the outline. I thought, well, I'll never do that again. And people gave a response like they liked it. So today the word during this course of this week, to tell you how the Holy Ghost talks to me throughout the week, I listened to, I don't know how many different preachers, from A.A. Allen and William Branham even. I just listened to all the old-timers and a couple others and different ministers and preachers, but I think it was T.L. Osborne. And he just made a little statement that, and it's that top line right there, Jesus saves us out of this world, and then he puts his new world within us. And that struck me and rang eternally. And I just felt the Lord, and I made a note of it and prayed all about it. And the scripture below that at the top again there is, the kingdom of God is within you. So that's what the Lord does. So, you know, we were sinners in this world controlled by the principality and the powers of this earth. In fact, we're born in sin. There's none righteous, no, not one. So we're all kind of underneath that, the spirit of the world. And ultimately, as you'll see here, and eventually I got the scriptures that this world's going to be judged completely. And so when we get saved, it's interesting because we're sort of externally living in this world as sinners. It's sort of external. It's sort of on the outside. You know, and we're controlled a little bit, I guess, by the principalities of the air. When I was a wicked sinner, I thought, man, Friday night party time, you know. And now I'm like, Wednesday night church, hallelujah. Yeah. So, you know, everything's changed. But anyhow, in the world, it's sort of external. But what Christ does is so wildly different and unique. Let me just sum up and tell you, my number one goal today is to excite you about what's been put inside of you. And mix it with a bit of a conviction in the sense of, man, I want to do better. I've really got something inside of me that's powerful. And the privilege and the blessings and the things that he has put in me, I got to get to my Father's business. That's my goal today. Won't you lift your hand? Father God, help us this morning. This is for your glory, praise, and honor. And we put you first in everything at all times. And it is the Spirit. We're coming out of the flesh, taking up our cross. And everyone added so beautifully. And we want to hear from the Spirit, live in the Spirit, and do the work of God's Spirit commissioned to each and every one of us. And so my little sub-note down there again, just to follow down there. Today the kingdom of God is a word and a spirit kingdom, and it is within us. Amen. And the second line further explains what I'm trying to communicate. After this life, right, when we leave this world, then we'll be in our new body and we'll be in heaven's glory, and then we'll be in the fullness of the kingdom of God. Do you see how I'm kind of framing the thought? Right? You have the kingdom of God within you, right now, but we're not in fullness yet because we're in this body carrying our crosses individually, dying to our flesh and our carnal nature every day. How many know that'll never stop until there's a manifestation and a change by God's Spirit? A sovereign move of God's Spirit is the only thing that's going to pop you out of this carnal mind. Because I believe when Jesus was here for 3.5 years, the anointing never left him. He was under the complete, total anointing nonstop. And I believe the disciples got a part of that. And I believe there's a people, a generation. I don't know that it'll be everybody, but it'll be an elect seed. There's a remnant that's going to come under an anointing for 3.5 years. And I don't think when you leave church at night and go to Shoney's that the anointing will stop. I think it'll be with you all night. Hallelujah. You'll wake up in the anointing every afternoon, all the time. Somebody's going to walk in that same anointing. I wish somebody would bless his holy name. And that's what the Lord has done. Now, look at the first three verses go together. What we're saying there is that the New Testament starts with the preaching and the concept. The number one topic is what? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, who's the first one? John the Baptist. He was preaching in the wilderness, and he had one message. And the first message was repent. In other words, you've been carnal, and you haven't even had a prophet for 450 years since the book of Malachi finished out. 450 years had gone by. Could you imagine? No anointing, no, I don't know what was ever done in them 450 years, but there ain't nothing recorded that we know of. It was pretty dry and dead, spiritually speaking, for 450 years. And now a man comes, and the word is correct, repent. And because they needed to, but more than that, he gave a reason why. He said, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, meaning it's the next thing that's going to happen in your life. You're going to have a revelation, an understanding. You're going to enter into something you had never seen or heard before, quite like you're about to. And someone coming after me will further explain. Stay tuned for more details. And then look at Matthew 4:17. From that time, Jesus began to preach. And what did he say? Oh, he just picked up the torch. The baton from John the Baptist, and he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And you see that continuity, but also the priority. Look at that was the most important manifestation of the preached word in that moment. The kingdom of God is at hand. You're getting ready to experience the kingdom of God like nobody has ever experienced it in all the time in history. Get ready. And the way you're going to get ready is repent. Well, how many know that message hasn't changed? For me to go forward, I got to repent. The closer you get to the light, the more darkness is exposed. The closer you get to God, the more things in your life you say, well, I didn't know that offended you, Lord. Sorry about that. And then you go further in the Lord, and now you're dealing with thoughts. You know, you're dealing with actions. You're dealing with deeds. You're dealing with things. And as you get closer to the Lord, it's like, man, I want every thought. You see what I'm saying? It just narrows down. It never ends unless he moves sovereignly. Now, the third verse down there in the outline, John 16:8, guess who carries on this same work? The Holy Ghost. Yes. And this is how it's written there. When he has come, and I put in parentheses, the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, yes. He will reprove. What does that mean? That means cause the world to repent. Yes. He will reprove the world. So he's telling the world, repent. Why? Reprove them of the world of sin, meaning repent of your sin in the world, right? That's the same message John the Baptist and Jesus preached. And then he said, of righteousness. Well, that's salvation. That's only the kingdom of God. You don't have anything outside of the kingdom of God and the word of the Lord and the Spirit of God that's in righteousness. My righteousness is filthiness. And of judgment. That speaks of the end of all things. So John said it, Jesus said it, and then the Holy Ghost empowered through the ministers now also does the same thing. Amen. And ministers that same way. And then we go down, and if anyone still involved in this world is in some notable trouble, because the prince of this world is going to be judged. Look at John, the next one down, chapter 12, verse 31. Now the judgment of this world, now is the judgment of this world, and now shall the prince of this world be cast out. So again, what we're saying is that if you don't get saved, judgment is looming. If you don't give your heart to God, if you don't get in the kingdom of God, there's no excuse. You're without excuse. Amen. And judgment is coming. Hard, cruel, harsh, horrible, terrible, eternal judgment. We need to be saved. Jesus didn't say if you want to be saved. He said you must be saved. You must be born again. He didn't say it's a choice. It's a pick door number 1, 2, or 3. He didn't say it was an option. He didn't say maybe if you feel like it, maybe if you get good enough. No, he said you must. I wish somebody would say amen. He said you must be born again. Amen. And he didn't come to fool around. He came to put his kingdom in you. He came to put his spirit in you. He came to buy you out of the devil's pawn shop. He came to deliver you. He came to save you. He came to sanctify you. He came to fill you with himself. It's a Holy Ghost eternal investment. God took his son's life's blood and hung him on Calvary, and that's the value of the purchase of your soul. You weren't bought with silver or gold or money, amen, or anything else valuable in this world. It means nothing in eternity. He went into eternity and took his only begotten son and made him by the Holy Ghost that overshadowed Mary to be a born of a woman and to come into this world and to walk just like you and I do in this world, in a mortal body. And then he hung him on a cross and shed his life's blood. And that was the only thing that could satisfy the wrath of God, the judgment of God, the justice of God for the penalty of our sin. Thank God you didn't have to be beaten. Thank God you didn't have to be flogged. Thank God you didn't have nails driven into your hands. Thank God they didn't hang you up till you expired. The high priest laid his hand on Jesus and transferred the sin of mankind unto that lamb during the Passover celebration. And then he went to Calvary and shed the lamb's blood. Put it on the lintels of that cross and on the doorpost of that cross. And then he went and he took our sin and he died that death and he went down into the grave, into hell. Praise God, but he ruled down there. He had authority. He took captivity captive. Praise God. And then he rose again, but he said he would. He said, just like Jonah was 3 days in the whale's belly till he burped him up. He said, the earth's going to burp me up. But he said, I'm gonna raise myself from the dead. Destroy this temple in 3 days. I'll raise it up again. The Last Supper, he said, I'm going away, but I'm coming right back. 3 days, after 3 days, you'll know I'm coming back. And he kept his word. And so he took our sin and buried it. He took our punishment and our shame and our nakedness, and he put all that on himself and then went to the grave. But then he rose triumphantly. And that's the breakthrough for the kingdom of God. That's the breakthrough for me. That's the breakthrough for all of us. That's our deliverance. Everybody dies. And amen, some come back from the dead, but not like him. Hallelujah. He raised himself and shed his own life's blood. And now, praise God, he came for a single sole purpose, and that is to manifest his spirit and grace and mercy that you could be born again into the kingdom of God. Somebody say amen. You're children of the king. We're not run by a Chinese government. Thank God, Xi Jinping. We're not run by Russian government, Putin. We're not run by our government. Hallelujah. We're run by the king of kings. And there's royalty, Holy Ghost royalty in our new saved, born again bloodline. We're new creatures. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I don't care. Somebody wave your hand and give him glory. In Luke 17:20, the Pharisees, they demanded, they say, when does this kingdom of God come? And he answered them. He said, well, it don't come with observation. In other words, an army or a switching of the who's in control as far as voting in or usurping an authority like a king or a prime minister or whatever. He said, and neither shall they say, oh, lo, here it is over here. Oh, no, there it is over there. And this is where Jesus told the Pharisees and everybody around us, and it's in our canon scriptures for us to know. He said, the kingdom of God is within you. Somebody wave your hand. You got more inside of you than you ever thought. And that's what I'm trying to communicate. That's the revelation of this word this morning. You got something inside of you that has value untold. You have a treasure, a deposit of a treasure, and it's more than that from God. Think of, for a moment with me, think how important it is to God. He's made an investment. He is heaven. Streets of gold are one thing, but if you got streets of gold without God, forget it. What is that? What value does that have? If you got a mansion without God, what value does that have? The only value anything has is God, his presence. Somebody wave your hand. Hallelujah. And so God took what he is and what he's got, amen, and what he has, and he's put it in your spirit. He is the kingdom of God. Without him, I don't want to go to heaven. There is no heaven. He is my heaven. If he's here, then I'm in heaven. If he's in a jail cell and we're visiting, not there by unless we're being persecuted, then I want to be with him. Wherever he's at, Peter said, well, I feel safer with you, Jesus, out on the water. I'll get out of this boat if that's really you. Just make a confirmation it's you. And if it's you, then we'll go. He said, oh, yeah, I know who I am. It's me. And he said, well, I'm better with you than these guys. These guys are drowning, and you ain't. Lift your hand and say, I'm better with Jesus. But his investment, think about it. Now, what I'm saying is his investment. He invested his spirit in you. When you get born again, you repent of your sin, and you accept the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And then he recognizes your commitment and dedication and your prayer, and he puts his spirit inside of you. And that is the kingdom of God. It's all of his love is shed abroad in your heart. It's all of his anointing. Oh, somebody say, Lord, help me see what I've got inside of me. Hallelujah. It's healing, it's deliverance, it's salvation, it's peace, it's joy, it's victory, it's triumph, it's anything and everything and all things that he is. We get it. But, again, that's his investment. All investments have a risk. You know, we've made our investments, and the stock market tanked a few years ago. And I was clicking my heels thinking, man, this Berkline, 25 years I invested with Berkline in a Fidelity 401, whatever, put it in an IRA. Am I saying the right words, Caleb? And it did really well, and I was happy, and I thought, well, I'll never take it out of that. And the thing went, poof. I said, oh, time to take it out of that. And I stopped the bleeding and put it in something secure and safe and tied it up. For what it's worth. And what I'm saying is that every investment has risk. That's my only point. God takes a risk by putting the kingdom of God in you. Why? Because you're carnal. Is risk involved? Does he not demand a return on his investment? Matthew 25, the 5, 3, and 1 talents, meaning that's an increment of money, of value. To one he gave 5, to one he gave 3, to one he gave 1. And the guy with 5 said, bless God, I've got something good. Somebody lift your hand and say, bless God, I've got something good. I want to double it. That guy doubled it. Lift your hand and say, I want to double it. One guy had 3. I don't control if you get 5, 3, or 1. Doesn't matter what you get. It don't matter. You don't pick your gifts. You don't pick your mama. Come on, say amen. You don't pick nothing. Andy's talking to Caleb, Monica. Oh, my goodness. That was worth the price of admission. All right. You don't pick anything. God gives you the 5, the 3. The guy that had 3 doubled it. And it come down. And I think this is more than a parable. The guy that had 1 said, oh, I knew you were an austere man. I knew that you had a great judgment. I knew. I was scared. I was scared. I was scared. I hid it. He said, you what? Out of your own mouth, you will be judged. You knew that I expected a return on my investment, and you didn't give me one. Bind him hand and foot. Cast him into the lake of fire. I'm sorry to get animated, but that's the reality. Excuse me. I retract my apology. I'm not sorry. Just saying. That's what he said. Lift your hand and say, Lord, I want it. Whatever you put in me, I want it to be used for your glory. I want to use it. I want to max out. I want to tirelessly work. I want to run. I want to scream. I want to holler on the rooftops to this world in here. I want to do my part. I want to do my part. I want to do what I'm supposed to do.
whatever it is. And if it's one talent, I'll jump and shout and dance and holler with one talent. I'll make it two. Hallelujah. I'll do whatever I've got to do with whatever he's put in my hand. If he makes me a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord, I'll be the best doorkeeper. I'll shine your shoes when you walk in. Hallelujah. I'll dust the dust off your lapel. Hallelujah. I'll greet you with a smile. I'll hug your neck. I'll encourage you. I'll bless you with the love of God. If I'm a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord, if I got but one talent, I'm going to max it out. I'm going to use it for his glory because he expects me to, and he's investing in me the kingdom of God. And what is the kingdom of God except souls? Berkline, we made furniture. Other businesses are service related. The DoorDash, bring you food. This business is lives, souls, eternity. And it matters, folks. Somebody say amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. We're brand new people because the kingdom of God's in us, the Spirit of God, the love of God shed abroad. And this is a note that I put in the outline here. Jonathan, the son of Saul. Who was Saul? He was the first king after the book of Judges. The prophet Samuel anointed Saul from the tribe of Benjamin, which if you read your Bible, you'd know that Benjamin was the smallest tribe because they committed horrible sin and they wiped all the people out. And they got almost extinct. And they had a few little, they spared the younger virgin girls, just the little girls, and the women that hadn't been married, and people just came and married. And so the tribe was only just starting to grow again. It was a very small tribe as far as that goes. And God took the smallest tribe, anointed Saul to be the king. But my focus is on his son, Jonathan. Because Jonathan, the son of Saul, was just another Benjamite in this world. In other words, he was a nobody that nobody would ever hear about, know about. He would live his life. He would die. It'd be over, and we'd never know anything about him of the least tribe until the day his father was made the king. On that day, he was no longer just a little run-of-the-mill, nobody Benjamite of the smallest tribe that nobody knew or cared about. When his dad, his relationship, he was the son of his father. When his dad became king, all of a sudden, he became a new creature. Amen. Because he became a prince in line to the throne, and he'd have made a fine one. He was a wonderful man, powerful man, great warrior. He became a prince over all the tribes. So he was nobody in his tribe, but then his dad became king, and now his relationship shifted, and he had all power over all the tribes. He was the smallest of tribes and the smallest family. One day, his dad gets anointed king the next day, and now he's over all the tribes. And that's an analogy of what happens when you and I get born again. We are nobody going nowhere. And then we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And now that relationship to our Holy Father in heaven has adopted us, grafted us in by the blood of the Lamb, made us sons and daughters, kings and priests. Now we rule and reign with him. Why? Because he put the kingdom of God within you. Oh, somebody wave your hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then there's, I got a note here, 1 Peter 1 and 9. It just says, in this sense, 1 Peter 1 and 9, it's not in your notes, but subnote here. We receive the end of our faith, even our salvation. And so today I'm saved. Today I've received the end of what I believe in. I'm already born again. I'm already a new creature. I'm already a citizen of heaven. I already belong in heaven. My name's already in the Lamb's book of life.
All I got to do is finish walking this thing out. And everything indicates to me, Scripture, Spirit, Holy Ghost, and Word, I already won. I just haven't finished my race yet. Anybody born again of God overcomes this world. Why? Because the kingdom of God's within you. And by the nature of it, helps you to conquer whatever you're facing in this world. We overcome by the nature of God that's instilled in us. It's almost like you got two minds and two personalities. And I'm trying to put this one guy back on that cross, the old man, and make sure he's dead. And I'm trying to move this other guy named Jesus Christ, his Holy Spirit that lives inside of me, to front and center, where his thoughts are my thoughts, where his word is my word, where his deeds are my deeds, where what he does is what I do, where what he is what I can become in him. With all reverence and respect and honor in relation to him. Wave your hand and give him thanks and praise. Amen. And Romans 8, for I reckon, he's a good Southern, I think Paul was from Southern Tarsus. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with what? With the glory which shall be revealed in us. That means the curtain's going to drop and the revelation, that's the same word as revelation. And it takes too long to get into the rest of this, but I'll read it anyhow. For the earnest expectation, so in other words, what the creature is expecting, yes, when we're waiting for is the manifestation of the sons of God. Amen. Well, why not? If the kingdom of God's in you, doesn't it make sense that if it grows, something would manifest? Yes. That's just logic. And we're waiting on that. I'm waiting to put this flesh to heal like a dog heal. And to take control of it. Yes. Ours don't do that, so you can forget it. But anyhow, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly. So by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, real quick, a re-explanation of that, because I think it's necessary, is that Adam was made subject to sin, but God already had a lamb slain from the foundation, prepared, ready to fill in and take over and to deliver him. And then the creatures itself is also being delivered from the bondage of corruption under the glorious liberty of the children of God. Hallelujah. I got to move through this. Colossians. The hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let me read this. Colossians 1:26. Even the mystery which hath been hid from the ages and from generations. You know, God's got a power to blind every mind everywhere and not tell you and not let anybody know what he's about to do. And then one day he can just open up the revelation and give it to who he wants to. So there was mysteries that were hid for ages and from generations, but now is made manifest. Well, God controls the thoughts of people and what they can think and what they can receive as revelation. To God be the glory. But now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, the hope of heaven, the hope of eternity. So it's just one confirmation, Scripture saying that he's in you, that Christ is manifested in you. The next one, I like this, in 2 Corinthians 5, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you for us and be reconciled to God. And then there's other verses about you've received the word of reconciliation and the ministry of reconciliation. But the word I want to focus real briefly on, the word ambassadors for Christ, talking about the kingdom of God in you. If you're an ambassador, wherever an ambassador is in another nation, if they're in an embassy, it's the property of the United States with the laws governing equal to the United States. If you're in trouble in a foreign nation, you run to the embassy of your native country and you are safe. Their laws don't carry through past those walls. Their police, their army, whatever, stops. Even though I've been to several embassies, one in Nairobi, Kenya, one in Lagos, Nigeria, Africa, east and west, and you felt safe, you felt secure. And nobody hardly knows the name of an ambassador. Nobody hardly knows my name or yours. Doesn't matter. We still represent, here's the point, the kingdom of God's within you. Now you have a literal kingdom of God government position to represent the King of Kings, all of his laws of love and grace and mercy, you represent. I can go into a visit someone in a jail cell, and the kingdom of God goes with me. I can pray for a sick person in line, and the kingdom of God is within me. I can go to a nursing home. I can go to a home. I can meet someone out on the street I never seen before. I can talk to them, and I'm in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is in me. I represent the King of Kings. I represent the Lord of Lords. I represent my high priest. If someone needs mercy, he's my high priest, and I represent him as my high priest. If they need authority to change something in their life, he's the king with all dominion and control and power, and I can walk into that part of the kingdom of God because he's a benevolent, gracious, generous God. He bestows upon you the blessings, the power, the love, and the grace. Everything that's of his kingdom, he puts it in you and hopes for it to be manifested. And the message this morning is, yeah, let it happen, Lord. Amen. So we represent the kingdom of God to this world, and we present the kingdom of God to this world. And then here, the last two or three verses, Luke, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and I underline what's important, oh, and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's the privilege of having the kingdom of God within you. You got authority, you got power over every demon, every spirit, everything of iniquity, anything and everything that causes hurt or confusion. You have dominion and authority over it. And Mark 11, it has to do with now you can speak to mountains and they'll be moved. Verily I say unto you, that whatsoever you shall say, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now, I'll put a stipulation or a clause in here. This is if your heart's dedicated toward him. If you're just full of carnality and lust, say, oh, Cadillac, Lord, Cadillac, or whatever, I don't know, bar of gold, Lord, give me a bar of gold. Well, good for you, if that's really what you're selling out for. But to me, the basis of asking what's in your heart, it implies you're already sold out, you already love the Lord, you've already given him your heart's desire, and then he puts these desires in you, say, oh, Lord, please let me witness to that person. Oh, Lord, please heal that person. Oh, Lord, please move this mountain of financial trouble off your children. Oh, Lord, please help our children be protected and like a bubble of the Holy Ghost from all the wicked spirits trying to infiltrate their mind to pervert them and to lie to them and to put them on a wrong path. You would lift your hand and say, sanctify our children, Lord. Amen. So, whatever the thing, again, the kingdom of God's in you. You got power over everything. Amen. When you speak words of faith, believing. Amen. And John 14, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Well, that alone would be enough. But no, he goes a little further. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. I'm talking about, why did he invest in you? Why is the kingdom of God in you? It's for a greater purpose than maybe you or I ever actually understood or thought. My point is to raise our awareness. This is a real investment God's put in us. This is real sober and real serious, and we'll stand before him and give an account. And I want something to burn in my heart and yours. How vital, how necessary, how wonderfully glorious, important the spirit I have. I mean, if I do right, I can lay hands on cancer victim or speak a word. I believe a day will come we'll just walk down the halls of a hospital. And behind us, they'll just start pulling out the plugs, standing up, saying, I'm healed, I'm healed. And following out behind us. You think I'm crazy. I feel the anointing. You can think what you want. Call me crazy, but call me happy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think there's coming a day. Why wouldn't it? Jesus did it. He healed them all. And then the last one is just to keep us in check. The last final verse of this outline. 2 Corinthians 4:16. It's just the idea that this anointing and this spirit and this kingdom is still in a worldly body. We're still fighting carnality. We can't get too carried away with ourselves, right? For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, that's from Genesis 1, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure. Somebody say treasure. We have this treasure in where? In an earthen vessel. I'm still who I am, but I have a treasure. Come on, lift your hands. Say, I've got a treasure. Hallelujah. And why? And then it explains to keep all of this in balance, the framework, kind of for where you frame it and how you think about it, that the excellency of the power, in other words, the glory and the honor may be of God and not of us. So, yeah, the kingdom of God's within you. Yeah, you got all power. Yeah, the love of God shed abroad in your heart, but you're still human. And he's still God. And Monica or somebody was talking about, Caleb was talking about the 24 elders that are shown in the book of Revelations, and they're given seats and thrones round about his throne, and they have golden crowns of honor that they've received as a reward. And yet when God did something, they just threw their crown at his feet, prostrated in front of him, and worshiped him. And the point is, yeah, they're the elite of all time and eternity. 24, whoever they are, doesn't tell you, and you never know till we get there. Unless, I don't know, he talks to you audibly. Good luck. And but if whoever they are, they worship the king. Amen. And yet they pick their crown back up and sit right back down on their throne. Somebody be thankful for what he's done for you. This treasure is a deposit. That word treasure means it's a deposit of wealth. Let's close on this. Father God, we just thank you that you've deposited the wealth, the blessing, the anointing, the virtue of your holy kingdom. The kingdom of God is within us. The Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ is in our hearts. We that are saved and born again and of your children, Lord, make us workers, worker bees. Let us work, 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 while the light is still shining, while the day is still here. Night cometh when no man can work. Lord, let us run with race, this race with patience. Let us never stop, never quit, put our hand to the plow, never turn around, never look back. It's shame to you if someone puts their hand on that plow and looks back. Lord, make us workers. Make us cherish. Make us love this kingdom of God that is in us, the love of God. Wherever we go, let us shine that love of God, the grace of God, the anointing of God, the power of God, the peace and joy and victory of God. Let us be your true ambassadors, true witnesses, true sons and daughters, true people of God. Jesus is our elder brother. Let us worship him, exalt him, and lift him up that all men could know him. Lord, help us every day and take up our cross, die to ourselves, but cherish this treasure in this earthen vessel for your glory, praise, and honor in Jesus' name. Clap your hand if you love the Lord this morning. And appreciate his word. Hope that helped you. All right, birthday girl, we're going to take an offering. She's the general. Secretary. Judah wants to help. Come on, Brother Judah. Deborah, you want to help? Judah, come on up. We're going to make a prayer just to receive the offering. Sure.